الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we were reading the chapters that the author he had mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the warning and the dangers of debating and arguing and quarreling in the religion. And this goes back likewise to those previous classes about the warning and the dangers as well of speaking about Allah without knowledge and seeking to misinterpret the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow one's desires and to establish what one intends contrary to that which is clarified in the clear and direct verses, contrary to that which is clarified in the clear and direct verses. In our previous class, we read the chapter Babu ma ja'a fil jidali fil Quran, the chapter on what has come about debating with the Quran. We have seen the dangers of that, and that there's a great threat with regards to that, and that this is from the ways of the deviant, and also from the ways that lead to deviation. And praiseworthy, and debating is blameworthy in general, and is only praiseworthy in certain circumstances whenever it's performed sincerely for the sake of Allah by those who are qualified, whenever that's required from them. So even the people of knowledge, they will not hasten to refute and to argue and to quarrel. Rather, they will only stand up to this arena whenever it's required from them. And it is clear that they are qualified. And at this time, then they will handle the matter in the most noble and just manner. The one who's going to speak in this light, defending the religion, debating, and seeking to clarify the truth, then he must have a pure intention. First and foremost, and likewise, his knowledge must be sound and profound. And he must be well-rounded in the science is related to the book and the sunnah and the methodology of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And likewise, he must have noble manners and be able to control his tongue and to think before he speaks and to not be easily persuaded by the speech and statements of others, and to be firm and not easily distracted and turned away from his goal and from his aim. And likewise, he has to be of those who have noble manners, and they're gentle and forbearing, and they hope and want good for others. And in this manner, a person, along with these qualities here, he will defend the religion and clarify the truth from the falsehood and refute the people of innovation whenever that's required from him. As for if one were to be insincere and to debate only to raise himself, or to win the arguments, or to overpower people in speech and proof and evidence and the likes like this, even if he said words of truth, then his action is a deed from the dunya, and it's not from the deeds of the hereafter, because of his foul and lowly intention. And if he was along with that ignorant or not firmly grounded, much chaos and corruption could come about by way of that, and likewise deviation, and making the truth seem like falsehood, and the falsehood seem like truth, if the people of innovation and deviation were more clever and more clever and more eloquent with the words that they're stating than him. So also we read that after that we're reading the chapter of the author he mentioned, Babu ma ja'a fil ikhtilafi fil Qur'ani fi lafdhihi wa ma'nahu, the chapter on what has come about differing about the Quran in its wording and meaning, and differing in a manner that causes dissension. Differing in a manner that will bring about animosity and hatred in the hearts of the believers. This is forbidden and not allowed. And this is a type of punishment and misguidance, and it's not a mercy. Rather, to be united and to be in harmony with the people of truth upon the truth, this is mercy, and this is peace of mind, and this is goodness, and this is benefit. As for differing and disputing and quarreling in a manner that brings about hatred, then this is a reason for the ranks of the believers to become weak, and for their enemies to be able to take advantage of them. The author in this chapter, Rahimahullah, he mentioned two verses, and we discussed some benefits related to them in our previous class, and likewise several narrations. We had read the narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, whenever he said that there was a man, that he heard a man reciting the Quran, and it was contrary to the way that he learned it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we took him by the hand and he took him to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask him about that. And whenever he the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard him recite, he mentioned that both of them are correct. Kilakuma muhsin, both of you are doing al-ihsan, and both of you are reciting properly and correctly in the manner that it was revealed. And we have seen that the Quran was revealed ala sab'ati ahruf, and yani lahajat al-arab, that it was revealed in seven different modes and seven different dialects. And this is what was occurring here. This man, he was reciting it to a dialect contrary to the dialect that Ibn Mas'ud he knew, radiallahu anhu. And we discussed some brief details with regards to this in our previous class. Likewise, there is a story of Omar as well. A similar situation happened, and the outcome also was the same. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he affirmed both of them. He said, "Hakada umzira wa hakada umzira." Like this, it was revealed, and like that, it was revealed. And also, there are other stories as well with regards to from the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, which is in Sahih Muslim, and it's a very beneficial narration. The brothers can look for that and read it with regards to this affair and how he the recitation, he was unaware of, and then he heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam affirmed it, and what had fallen into his heart, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reassured him and guided him and directed him radiyallahu anhu. We continue reading. The author, he says, وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا عَنِ بِنِ عَمْرَ رَضِيَ عَنْهُمَا أَنُّهُ قَالْ هَجَّرْتُ إِلَى النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallam أَيْ بَكَّرْتُ إِلَى مَجْلِسِهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam وَسَمِعَ أَسْوَاتَ رَجُلَيْنِ اِخْتَلَفَ فِي آيَةِ The ayah. He said, the author, and also in the authentic collections from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he said, I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam early. I went out to his gathering, and into his gathering sallallahu alayhi wasallam early. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard the voices of two men, and they're having an argument, disputing about a verse. He says, يُعْرَفُ فِي وَجْهِهِ الْغَضَبِ فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يُعْرَفُ فِي وَجْهِهِ الْغَضَبِ. And the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ, he came out to us, and the signs of anger could be seen on his face. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ إِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِاخْتِلَافِهِمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Verily the people before you were only ruined because of their arguing and quarreling in the book, because of their disputation in the book. And meaning that they're disputing and arguing with regards to the book, and this led to animosity and hatred. It led to shahna, which will lead to al-baghi wal-i'tida. And this is what happened to those previous nations. And they were not divided nor misguided until the clear guidance came to them. And then after that, they differed. Baghyan baynahum. And this was in the verse that the author, he mentioned, in Surah Al-Baqarah. So that's how they were destroyed. They were destroyed in this manner. Waliyadhu billah, from differing, for differing and arguing and quarreling in the religion. And this is from those aspects. This is from those aspects and how they were ruined and how they were misguided. And what is meant that they were ruined, meaning that they fell into disbelief and innovation in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's warning us from that we should be cautious from quarreling and arguing and debating in the religion. This is not from the deen. Yani al-khusumat and al-jidal. In general, this is not from the deen. Again, except for specific people and certain circumstances. They're the ones who are qualified. In those circumstances, they will be allowed and considered praiseworthy to debate. And other than that, it's not praiseworthy and it's not allowed. Rather, a believer, he will avoid that. Rather, a believer, he will avoid that. The people of knowledge, likewise, they're the first to avoid that. And it's only whenever it's necessary or required that they will step up. And they will debate in the manner that is lawful and legislated according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, he says, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ عَنْهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَمْرِ إِبْنِ الشُّعَيْبِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ أَنَّ نَفَرًا كَانُوا جُلُوسًا بِبَابِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَلَمْ يُقُلِ اللَّهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَلَمْ يُقُلِ اللَّهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا فَسَمِعَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فَخَرَجَ كَأَنَّمَا فُقِئَ فِي وَجْهِهِ حَبُّ الرُّمَّانِ كَأَنَّمَا فُقِئَ فِي وَجْهِهِ حَبُّ رُمَّانِ. He says, and in the Musnad, likewise, from him, يعني from Abdullah ibn Amr, which is the narration, the previous narration, from Abdullah ibn Amr, from the hadith of Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an Abihi an Jaddihi. This chain came in the previous class, and this is Nuskha Hasana. And Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an Abihi, يعني Shu'ayb ibn Abdullah, an Jaddihi, an Jaddi, Amr ibn Shu'ayb, who is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As al-Sahmi radiyallahu anhuma. So therefore, this is the narration, as he's mentioning, of Abdullah ibn Amr. He says that one day a group of the companions were sitting at the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some of them, they said, did not Allah say this and that in his book? And others, they said, what? But did not Allah say this and that in his book? So the narration here, the author he mentioned, is in the Musnad by Imam Ahmad, but also it's narrated by Ibn Majah. And there are some other wordings that clarify. And in Ibn Majah, it's mentioned, وَأَصْحَابُهُ يَخْتَصِمُونَ فِي الْقَدْرِ كَأَنَّمَا فَيَكْتَسِمُونَ فِي الْقَدْرِ, that his companions, they're debating and quarreling about the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what this is referring to in this narration. أَلَمْ يُقُولِ اللَّهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا, did not Allah say this and that in his book? And then others are saying, well, did not Allah say this and that in his book? And they're disputing and having an argument with regards to the affairs of the qadr, of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions here, at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out, he heard them and he came out, and his face was red, and he like he's been red, like the seeds of the pomegranate, and it had been hitting his face, and he had been poked at it on his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning this is a reference that his face changed and became red from anger, and from what he's seen from quarreling. In Sunan Ibn Majah, فَكَأَنَّمَا يُفْقَأُ فِي وَجْهِهِ حَبُّ الرُّمَّانِ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ مِنَ الْغَضَبِ. Meaning that these seeds had come to his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seeds of the pomegranate, meaning this red color, مِنَ الْغَضَبِ, from anger. Meaning his face changed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became angry because of this dispute that they're having. So faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abihada umirtum aw bihada bu'ithtum. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you been commanded to do this, or were you created for this purpose? And here it says, yani alihada bu'ithtum, but likewise in Ibn Majah it says, abihada khuliqtum, were you created for this reason? Were you created for this reason? Is this what you were ordered to do? To dispute and to argue and to quarrel about the affairs of the religion and about the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Is this what you were created for? Meaning that's not what you were ordered to do. Nor were you created for this. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَبِهَذَا أُمِرْتُمْ أَبِهَذَا بُعِثْتُمْ أَنْ تَضْرِبُوا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ. Were you commanded to do this? Were you created for this purpose, that you would use one part of the Quran against the other? And this had preceded in our previous classes. And we see now how all these narrations and these topics here, they're related together. And how the people, and how this would occur, that one, he will go to some verses that carry more than one meaning, and others to another verse that carry more than one meaning. And if we look at them If we look at them in this manner like this, it may appear that there is contradiction. But the one who has knowledge of the book in general, and he refers these verses here and the subject matter that they contain back to the clear verses, then all of them become clear and there will be harmony in the understanding. So sometimes it may appear in this manner, but this is because of a lack of understanding and a lack of firmness and being solid and grounded in the sciences of the religion, the sciences of the religion. So in any case, this is occurring here. One of them is mentioning one aspect and another aspect, yani from the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard this and he became very angry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا ضَلَّتِ الْأُمَّمُ قَبَلَكُمْ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا. It is only the likes of this that caused the nations before you to go astray. إِنَّكُمْ لَسْتُمْ مِمَّا هَاهُنَا فِي شَيْءٍ. انظروا الذي أملتم به فاعملوا به والذي نهيتم عنه فانتهوا عنه. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look to what I have commanded you and do it, and look to what I have prohibited you and leave it. And this is not what you were ordered to debate and to quarrel and to argue and to dispute about some of the affairs that may be unclear for you, or the issues of the unseen that maybe you do not understand in entirety. But rather, what you should do is focus on that which is clear and that which you are ordered and taken to account for. And this takes precedence. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that you must look to that which you have been ordered and then do that. And if you want to study the book, you want to study the Quran and study the religion, then first you look to that which you have been ordered and commanded to do. And you strive to learn that, understand that, and implement that in your life. And you look to that which you have been forbidden from, and you strive to avoid that and leave it and stay away from it, all with sincere faith, hoping for the reward from Allah and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a person, he will benefit from the book of Allah. In this manner, a person, he will benefit from the book of Allah. The author, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ خَرَجَ وَهُمْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِي الْقَدْرِ. In one narration, it's mentioned that he said, radiallahu anhu, that he came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while they were disputing about the decree. While they were disputing about the decree. In some wordings of this narration, likewise, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he heard them disputing and he came out, he said, مَهْلًا يَقَوْمْ. Mahlan ya qawm. Mahlan, yani slow down. Take it easy. Mahlan ya qawm. Oh people, take it easy. Take it easy. Don't delve into these quarrels like this. Don't delve into quarreling like this, arguing, disputing, and the likes like this. So many times disputes, they can become heated. And a person, he can begin to detest the one who is debating with him and have enmity for him and hatred for him. And this is from the means, again, of dissension in the ranks and from misguidance likewise. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِهَذَا أُهْدِكَتِ الْأُمَّمُ قَبَلَكُمْ بِاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ وَضَرْبِهِمْ الْكُتُبُ وَبَعْضَهَا بِبَعْضٍ إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ يُكَذِّبُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا بَلْ يُصَدِّقُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا فَمَا عَرَفْتُم مِّنْهُ فَاعْمَلُوا بِهِ وَمَا جَهِلْتُم مِّنْهُ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى عَالِمِهِ. He said, slow down, people, take it easy. This is what had destroyed the previous nations before you, the fact that they're differing and quarreling, they're differing with their prophets, and they use and set the books one portion against the other, any to falsify the other. And indeed, the Quran was not revealed to belie one part the other, any for one part to belie or deny the other. Rather, one part testifies to the truthfulness of the other. Rather, one part testifies to the truthfulness and authenticity of the other. So whatever you know from that, then you apply it. And whatever you do not know to that, then you refer it back to the one who knows. Then you refer it back to the one who knows. The author, he says, وَكَذَا رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَفِيهِ خَرَجَ وَنَحْنُ نَتَنَازَعُ فِي الْقَدْرِ وَقَالَ حَسَنٌ. Also, Tirmidhi, he narrated this narration from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and then he said, he came out while we were disputing about the decree. He came out while we're disputing about the decree. And he said, yani Tirmidhi rahimahullah, it is a hadith that is hasan. It is a hadith that is hasan. And this wording similar to the one that had preceded, and he has another clarification slightly. He said, "Abihada umirtum, am bihada ursiltu ilaykum?" Was this, is this what you were ordered? Is this what I was sent to you for? And he said, "This is what has come. Were you ordered to do this? Do you think I was sent to you with the message and guidance for you to do this? Were you created for this? No, you're not created for this. This is not what you have been commanded, and this is not what I was sent to you for." So therefore, this is again a warning from disputing and arguing and quarreling. And this is not why we were created, and this is not what we have been commanded, and this is not why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to us. This is not why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent to us. For this reason, we find the great scholars of hadith and the imams of the sunnah, they discuss these topics directly, and they warn from arguing and quarreling and debating. And Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he considered it from the first principles and fundamentals with regards to the creed and with regards to the proper belief. In his work, Usul al-Sunnah, from the first of the affairs he mentioned was the issue here of quarreling and debating. Al-Imam Ahmad, in his famous work, Usul al-Sunnah, rahimahullah ta'ala, the fundamentals of the sunnah, what he means by that, the deen, the religion, the creed, and the methodology and the belief of the people of truth. He says, "Usul sunnah indana atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa iktida'u bihim." The fundamentals of the sunnah with us is holding fast to that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon, and to follow them precisely. Wa tarku al-bid'ah, and to leave off innovation. Wa kullu bid'atin fahiya dalala. Wa kullu bid'atin فَهِيَ ضَلَالَ, and every innovation, then it is misguidance. وَتَرْهُ الْخُصُومَاتِ وَالْجُلُوسِ مَعَ أَصْحَابِ الْأَهْوَاءِ, and to leave off quarreling and sitting along with the people of desires. You see how they come together? And to leave off, تَرْهُ الْخُصُومَاتِ وَالْجُلُوسِ مَعَ أَصْحَابِ الْأَهْوَاءِ, that you leave off quarreling and debating and sitting in the gatherings or in the company of the people of desires, because they come hand in hand. If you sit with the people of desires, you will find them debating, and they will lead you to debating. And there are certain people that this is their way. They love to argue and to debate. And you cannot be around them or hear from them or see them in any efforts that they have except their quarreling and arguing and debating. And these people we have seen, this is a sign, the Salaf mentioned, that Allah did not want good for them. And had Allah wanted good for them, He would have guided them to be busy with that which is most beneficial, and to work upon the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the application of the religion, instead of arguing and quarreling and fighting with the people. Instead of arguing and quarreling and fighting with the people. And then Al-Imam Ahmad, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَتَرَكُوا الْمِرَاءِ وَالْجِدَالِ وَالْخُصُمَاتِ فِي الدِّينِ, and to leave off quarreling and arguing and disputing in the religion. In the religion. So this is from the very first of the fundamentals. This is the first thing, to hold fast to the way of the Sahaba. And the second thing, to leave off innovation, to hold fast to the way of the Sahaba, and to follow them precisely. And then to leave off innovation, and then to leave off disputing and sitting in the company of the people of desires, and then to leave off, again, quarreling and disputing and arguing in the religion. These are the very first fundamentals of the deen. And this is clearly also because what has preceded in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بعد هدى كانوا عليه إلا أوتوا جدلا, that a people have never been misguided and led astray after being upon clear guidance, except it was because they fell into arguing. So many times arguing is the means that will lead a person astray into misguidance. Arguing and debating and quarreling, and he will be affected. He'll be affected in his intention. He'll be affected sometimes in his creed and belief, and many times he will change. He will change. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Al-Imam Malik, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, لَيْسَ هَذَا الْجَدِلْ مِنَ الدِّينِ بِشَيْءٍ. لَيْسَ هَذَا الْجَدِلْ مِنَ الدِّينِ بِشَيْءٍ. This arguing and quarreling is not really, it's not from the deen at all. And it's not from the deen at all. It's considered nothing, insignificant in the religion. This is not from the way of al-Islam. This is not from the way of the Muslims. This is not from the way that is good and praiseworthy, to sit around and to quarrel and to argue and to dispute about affairs in the religion, about affairs in the religion. There are other narrations likewise we'll read about these affairs mentioned by Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, but we save them for the next chapter. So the point from that is to see that the imams, the great imams of the Sunnah, they did not encourage arguing. Rather, they considered that to be contrary to the foundations of the religion, and they warned from that. And they warned from that. From the first things they were warned from. From the first things they were warned from is sitting in the company of the people of misguidance and disputing and arguing with them. And disputing and arguing and quarreling with them. So the author says, Babun idha ikhtalaftum faqumu. Babun idha ikhtalaftum faqumu. The chapter, if you differ, then stand up and leave. The chapter, if you differ, then stand up and leave. Yani, this is a solution if the affair occurs. This is a solution if the affair occurs. If the believers are ever in a circumstance and they begin to dispute about affairs in the religion and the likes, then they are ordered to separate and to leave, to turn away from what they're involved in, and to leave it for the time being, and to do something else in order to not fall into this blameworthy aspect, and in order for likewise this animosity and enmity and hatred to not grow in the heart, because if they continue, those who are disputing continue, then this is the outcome of that. Even sometimes it can lead to violence, waliyadu billah. Sometimes it can lead to violence, waliyadu billah, arguing and disputing, even sometimes in the affairs of the religion. People have been known to do the likes of this, become violent, waliyadu billah, over a fiqh issue sometimes even. Waliyadu billah, because of desires, and because of the intention being corrupted, and because of a person not having noble manners and conduct and able to control itself. So this chapter here, إِذَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فَقُومُوا. The chapter, if you differ, then stand up. He says, رَحِيمَهُ فِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ جُنْدُوبِ يعني جُنْدُوبِ ابن عبد الله البجري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اقرأوا القرآن ما اتلفت قلوبكم اقرأوا القرآن ما اتلفت قلوبكم فإذا اختلفتم فقوموا عنه فقوموا عنه. And in the authentic collections from Jundub, Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, he narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, recite and study the Qur'an. Iqra'u al-Qur'an. And he recite and read the Qur'an, study the Qur'an, and the likes, as long as you agree about its interpretation, or as long as that your hearts are in harmony and united. And this is, there's more than one interpretation of what is intended here. But if you have any difference of opinion as regards to its interpretation and meaning, then you should stop reciting for the time being. فَقُومُوا عَنْهُ فَقُومُوا عَنْ الشَّيْءِ يَنِي تَرْكَهُ. So this is one interpretation. Then you should stop reciting for the time being. But the way that the author he mentioned with the next narration of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, it's as if he's referring to another interpretation, it means that you stand up and leave. قُمُوا عَنْهُ, that you stand and you leave, So this narration here, اِقْرَأُوا الْقُرْآنَ مَا تَلَفَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Recite the Qur'an so long as your hearts are united, or so long as your hearts are focused. It has been interpreted like this, and it's to have more than one meaning, that you should read the Qur'an so long as your heart is focused. مَا تَلَفَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Any meaning that while your heart is alive, and focused and aware, and not heedless nor negligent. فَإِذَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فَقُومُوا عَنْهُ. And if you become distracted or not focused, I mean, that's the meaning. If you become distracted and not focused, not able to comprehend and reflect upon the recitation, then you stop reciting. Because the Book of Allah is more noble and honorable for a person to recite it while he's heedless. So this is from the interpretations that have come with regards to this. Other interpretations, they mentioned that what is intended is that a person, that if he will read and study the Qur'an, so long as the believers or those whom he's studying with, their hearts are united and they are in harmony and they're not quarreling or arguing. But if they differ about something in the recitation or in the meaning in the interpretation, then they should stop and leave each other. They should stop their studies and their debate, and they should leave each other until the situation calms down. So Allah knows best. This is what the author he's referring to with the chapter title and mentioning this narration, and that becomes clear. And Allah knows best from the narration that precedes. And he says, Rahimahullah, Walahuma, and from the both of them as well. Any of these narrations here are both in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. صحيح البخاري ومسلم ولهما عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في مرضه And it is collected by the two of them, meaning of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned while he was in his sickness, and he meaning in his sickness that he passed in, that he died in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The messenger, he says, "Ituni bi kitab, ituni bi kitabin aktub lakum kitaban lan tadhillu ba'dahu." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Bring me a book. I need some writing paper I can write with, and I will write for you a statement. I will write for you any a book that after it you will never go astray. I will write for you a book. Any some benefits." Or admonishment, advice, that after that you will never go astray. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ummiyan. He was an ummi, he's not able to read or to write. So whenever we see the likes of these narrations, "Bring me a book I can write for you," or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote letters to the different rulers and the likes like this, meaning that it was written for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would dictate and others would write the words that he dictated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what is being referred to here. This is what is being referred to here. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered for some papers to be brought, and he wanted to write some admonishment and advice, and even wasiyah, some commandments and orders for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You will never go astray after that." قَالَ فَقَالَ عُمَرَ. At this time, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad ghalabahu al-waj'a wa inna 'indana kitaballahi hasbuna." At this time, Umar, he said, the Prophet is seriously ill, and his sickness has overcome him, and we have with us the Book of Allah, and that is sufficient for us. Wa qala ba'dhum, and some of them, they said, "Baritu bil kitab," and others, they said, "Rather go bring the book, let him write." Others, they disagreed with him and his opinion here, radiallahu anhu, and they said, "Bring the book, let him write. فاختلفوا, and then at this time they differed and they began to dispute. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قوموا عني, stand up and leave me, go away, leave me alone. ولا ينبغي عند نبي تنازع, ولا ينبغي عند نبي تنازع. And he said, "Brother," they differed. He said, "Go away, leave me alone. It is not right that you quarrel in front of a prophet. It is not right that you quarrel in front of a prophet." And in other words, similar like that, it's not proper for you to argue and to quarrel in front of me like this. This is not correct. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told them to go away. He told them to go away and to separate. So this was the evidence of the author, and Allah knows best. So this is a great wisdom. Whenever people are disputing and they become angry, then they should cease. And this is from the cure of anger, that a person, if he becomes angry, فَلْيَسْكُتْ مَنْ غَضِبَ إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدَكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you becomes angry, then he should be silent. He should be silent. And people who are angry, if they speak, many times they regret what they say. So from the prophetic guidance of coping with anger, first you try to repress it as much as you can. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't get angry. And meaning that you repress your anger, and you try not to get angry, or you hold it inside and you try not to display it, and you fight your soul so that anger is not heard from you or seen from you in your actions. Because a person, he will control himself. La taghbab. But if it comes up and it riles up, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدَكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ, then he should be quiet. He should not say anything. And then if it continues with him, وَهُوَ قَائِمْ فَلْيَجْلِسْ, وَإِذَا كَانَ جَلِسٍ فَلْيَطَّجِعْ, if he's standing, then he should sit down. And if he's sitting there, he should lay down. And in order to not get involved, to not move, because the person, if he is angry and he speaks, he will regret many times. And even worse, if he moves his hands or his feet, or sometimes their head, he gets angry and he'll headbutt and the likes like this. And people do some lowly things whenever anger overcomes them. So the point is to not become angry and to repress it as much as one can. And from that is whenever disputes occur, especially in the affairs of the religion, the believers, they're ordered to separate and to leave, to stop studying to stop reciting, to stop the dispute, and to do something else for the time being until that affair cools down. Until that affair cools down. We discussed this narration previously, and Allah knows best that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going to write for them is some things that is already established, because this is in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the verse has already been revealed, at يَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, that the religion is complete and perfect. So there was nothing from the revelation or from the legislation that was going to be written that was not already known and not already clarified. And although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sick, this does not affect the fact that he's ma'sum, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fi tabligh ar-risala, that he is infallible and he's protected from every aspect with regards to conveying the message. So sickness and hardship and difficulty and facing the enemy, so on and so forth, and all the other problems and trials that would occur, this does not affect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his ability to convey the message that was revealed to him. Rather, he's protected from that in all aspects. And this is this was the reality with all of the prophets and messengers. As for other than that, in affairs outside of conveying the revelation and the message that was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he's a human being. He becomes sick, he gets tired and hungry, and he needs to eat, and the likes like this, and he gets married and has children, so on and so forth, like the rest of mankind. So these affairs here, poverty or sickness and ailment and the likes like this, this is something that occurred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لأنه بشر, because he's a human being. But this does not affect the fact that he is a prophet and messenger, and it does not jeopardize the legislation and law. Rather, he's protected in an absolute manner by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to conveying the message that is revealed. So one should not have any doubts about that. So after this, the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنِ بِنِ مَسْعُودٍ وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنِ بِنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَرَأَ سُورَةَ يُوسُفٍ فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مَا هَكَذَا أُنزِلَتْ فَقَالَ أَتُكَذِّبُ بِالْكِتَابِ فَقَالَ أَتُكَذِّبُ بِالْكِتَابِ. And he says that it's Muslim narrated from Ibn Mas'ud رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that he read Surah Yusuf. And a man, he said, it was not revealed like that. This is going back to the previous issue of how the Quran was revealed in different lahajat, and also in different modes of recitation likewise. So if a person was not aware of those other lahajat, or he was not aware of those other modes of recitation, he may say the likes of this. And this is from the aspect of that narration that had preceded in our previous class, Al-Jidalu fil Qur'ani Kufrun, disputing and arguing in the Quran is disbelief, because this is what could happen and it could lead to disbelief. And this is what Ibn Mas'ud is saying right now. He's reciting it in the manner that it was revealed, and he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. As for this individual, then he learned it another mode or in a slightly different recitation or dialect and the likes like this. So whenever he heard, he said, "Laysa hakadha unzil." It wasn't revealed like that. So Ibn Mas'ud, he knows it was revealed like that. So it says that tukadhibu bil kitab, are you belying and denying the book? So this disputing here in this manner could lead a person to deny something that is affirmed and established, could then because of a deficiency in knowledge, and even worse and more lowly, because of a deficiency in intention and determination, meaning that a person arguing and quarreling could lead him to belie and to deny something he knows the truth, yani out of fear he may lose the dispute and seem lowly, or as if he has lost, and the likes like this, and he would fall in the eyes of the people. So therefore, he will affirm falsehood or defend falsehood and the likes like this while he knows, afraid of being disgraced and losing the argument. So this is for all from the dangers of that, and this likewise could lead to disbelief. So we have several benefits, yani, with regards to these chapters that have preceded in these narrations. From them is it's recommended for the people, the Muslims, to study the Quran. Whenever a person, he has energy and he has desire and he's encouraged to learn. As for whenever he's negligent and lazy and the likes like this, or whenever he can't focus or his mind is not together, then he should not recite the Quran and study the Quran at this time. The Quran is lofty and high, the speech of our Lord. It must be honored. So if a person is going to study it, he's going to read it, he should do that while he has energy. He should do that while he has a heart that is alive, while he has ragbah, while he has strong desire to learn and to listen and to ponder and to reflect. And he should not be reading it while he's thinking about the dunya or what he's going to do over here and the likes like this. Even the people of knowledge, they mention in this regard likewise, barakallahu fikum, the Quran is not something that you just turn on, for example, the recitation of the audio now, and you just let it play in the store and the likes like this, while you're getting money and you're talking and you have, and it's just something playing in the background. And it's just something playing in the background. We don't do that. We don't turn it on in the house and just let it play and then do whatever we want to do and hang out and talk to our family. And the Quran is just playing in the background and we show no concern for it and do not even listen to it whatsoever. This is not something that we should do. Rather, if we want to listen to the Quran, we'll turn it on. This is good. Alhamdulillah. You can turn on the audio and you can listen. But whenever you want to discuss issues, you turn it off. You turn it off. If you're not going to pay attention to it and listen, you don't just leave it running in the background while you're doing your dishes or your housework or while you're working, while you're hanging out with your children or while you're doing other things in the likes like this or working on your car. And you're not focusing. You're not paying attention. It's just something playing in the background. You don't do that. You do what you take care of what you're doing. When you want to listen to the Quran, you listen to it. And likewise, also the people of Nod, as they mentioned, that whenever you're going to turn it off, you don't turn it off in the middle of the verse. You turn it off at the end of the verse. Because possibly you may turn it off in the middle of the verse and it could at this time not be correct in the meaning. It could change the meaning or lead to a bad meaning. Or when you turn it back on, maybe it will lead to a bad meaning. And this is also a benefit as well, same idea in the issue of some of the rules of tajweed. And from the high level of recitation, yani being knowing al-waqfu wal-ibtida'. Al-waqfu wa ibtida', and he went to stop and went to restart the recitation. And there are general principles with regards to that, and there are signs in the Book of Allah, the jim and the sad and the qaf and the mim and the likes like this. But a person who studies and learns the meanings, then he will follow the meanings and he will stop where the meaning is good and beneficial, and he will restart where the meaning is good and beneficial, connecting them, not in a manner where the meaning is lost. And this is from the true means to be able to reflect and ponder over the recitation. Whenever the reciter, he knows what he's reciting, and he stops in places that keep the meaning or that bring out the meaning, and he restarts the recitation in the same manner where the meaning is complete and good. Because stopping could be bad and not allowed in certain places, or it could be any disliked in certain places. And if, for example, if someone, he said, Allah ta'budu, like this, and he stopped right there. And this meaning is bad. Your Lord has ordered that you should not worship. But the verb Allah ta'budu illa iyyahu, you should not worship anyone except for Him. So if you stop in the middle like this, it's like you're saying that your Lord has ordered that you shouldn't worship. So the meaning is not completed, and it's a bad meaning to stop there. So you stop where the meaning is complete and also where the meaning is good, where the meaning is complete and likewise where the meaning is good. Now this is just an example. This is just an example. So the same thing, barakallahu fikum, when we stop the Quran. If you're reciting, if you're listening in the car, if you're listening in your home, you don't just stop it anywhere like that. Nah, you wait till the verse is finished and then you stop it. And then you stop it. Or you wait, if you understand it, you wait till the meaning is complete and then you stop it. And that way, whenever you start it back again, if you start it back again and it stops in a good place, and when you start it back again, it will start in a proper manner with the complete meaning that is correct. That is correct. So also from the benefits of these chapters, that is forbidden to debate and to argue and to quarrel, and that we should not dispute about the issues of the Quran and the Sunnah. And it's been narrated from Yunus As-Safadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the companions of Al-Imam Al-Shafi, rahimahullah. He says, "Ma ra'aytu a'qada min ash-Shafi'i." I never seen anyone with more intelligence, any more clever and more great, with a greater intelligence than ash-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. The word aql is means intelligence, but the word aql has another meaning too. What is that? Intellect. Yeah, intellect. No, another meaning. La, huh? Completely away from this idea. The aql is something that you tie something down with, right? That's because it's gonna tie you down. If it's sounding good, it's also called a nuha. It's also called a nuha. النهى from النهي, because it's going to forbid you from acting indecent and from foul and lowly in a manner that's not befitting. And like, so the aql is going to, the beneficial aql is going to keep you in line. It's going to keep you in a manner that's praiseworthy and good, and to and protect you from falling into indecency, vulgarness, foulness, or a lowly way. Or lowly way. That's whenever the aql is proper and good in accordance, and supported and aided by the legislation. The sound mind, when it's supported and aided by the legislation, is of great benefit. Is of great benefit and light and a great favor. From the greatest favors, a sound mind. And on top of that, to be aided and supported by the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the complete blessing. This is complete blessing. So he said, "Ma ra'aytu aqada min ash-shaykh." I never seen anyone more intellectual, any more bright, more clever, more sound understanding than al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He says, "Nadhartuhu yawman fi mas'alatin thumma iftaraqna." He said, "I debated with him one day in an issue." And he meaning in the religion, and then we separated. And he's as if they didn't agree. They didn't agree on the issue. And then he says, فَلَقِيَنِي وَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then after that, and he was disputed, we had a debate, and then in an issue, and then we separated. And we did it. We disagreed about that. He said, but then after that, he took me by my hand. He took me by my hand, and he said, يَا أَبَا مُوسَى. Oh, Abu Musa. And even the way that he's speaking, right? Addressing him with the kunya. He didn't say, yani, mentioning, yani, Yeah, Yunus. Like, لا, yeah, Abu Musa. And he be a talatuf fil khitab. And he's speaking nice and gentle in this manner. And this is a way of respecting your brother by calling him on his kunya, by calling him by his kunya. This is a way to honor him, to respect him. This is a good way. This is a good way. So he took him by his hand and he said it to him like this, yeah, Abu Musa. Allah yastaqimu an nakuna ikhwanan wa in lam nattafiq fi masala. Isn't upright? Isn't that considered good or proper that we can still be brothers even if we differ in an issue? Even if we differ in an issue. And this is a very great sound mind, especially in the issues of fiqh, where the scholars greater than Imam Shafi, they differed, for example. Scholars before him differed. His teachers differed. Imam Malik differed with regards to these affairs. And the likes like this. Imam Malik or those before him. Imam Malik and those before him differed. And the likes like this. And those after him, they differed. And these issues where there's room for differing. Where there's room for differing. Do you put your hands on your chest when you come from ruku, or you put them on your side? Or you put them on your side. The issues like this, there's room for differing. These issues are issues here of ijtihad in the first place, and there's no clear text. So for animosity and enmity and hatred to come into the hearts of believers because of this issue here, for example, where you put your hands when you raise, so on and so forth. Or even we could say reciting the basmala out loud, like is the opinion of Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala. For some people, for the believers to dispute about this affair. And even worse, some of them today, they don't only dispute about the affair, but rather one of them, he will call him an innovator. Or he'll call him misguided. Or he'll make a video and he'll put his face on there and put an X on it. All right. And then he'll come to the other one and then he will say, you know, Sheikh so-and-so refute Sheikh so-and-so. And then he will make a clip of Sheikh so-and-so saying something contrary to this person. And they're not even alive at the same time, for example. Or the statement is not directed to that individual. It's made to appear as if it is. And then and the likes like this. And this is all any from the lowly. From the lowly ways, what do you have to learn? This is all from the lowly ways and disputing, and quarreling and arguing and having foul intentions. Allah istaqim and nakuna ikhwanin. What in lam nattafiq fi masala? Isn't that proper or good that we can still be brothers even if we don't agree on an issue? Even if we don't agree on an issue, he's not talking about creed and methodology. He's not talking about yani tawheed and the like. He's talking about issues that there's room for disagreeing. Even if a person, he made a mistake in creed, the origin is to teach him and to educate him. The origin is to teach him and to educate him and not to drop him and not to belittle him. First, you try to teach him and educate him. And this is with regards to the general population, the awam and the likes like this. As for the innovators and the people of innovation, they're upon a specific way, then they have a different way to deal with them. They have a different way to deal with them. But the layman and those who have been affected by them, then the way that we deal with them is different. We hope good for them. We want good for them. We want to direct them. We want to guide them. We hope that they will see the truth and leave those ways. So this is very... This is very important. Likewise, Imam Shafi, he mentioned, he says, مَنَ غَوْتُ أَحَدًا وَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنَّهُ يُخْطِئُ. I never debated with anybody, and I hope that he made a mistake. I never debated with anybody, and I hope that he made a mistake. And he meaning that he's only debating with them, hoping that they will be guided, hoping that they will be that they will benefit. He mentioned likewise, he said, I never discussed issues with anyone, except I didn't care. لا أباني أظهر الله الحق على لساني أو على لسانه. He said, I don't care. I never discussed issues with anyone, except I did not have any care whatsoever, whether Allah, he made the truth apparent on my tongue or on his tongue. On my tongue or on his tongue. These are great fundamentals to realize. Alhamdulillah, the goal and the aim is that the truth is clarified, and that the sunnah is established, and that the tawheed enters the hearts of the people, and that the tawheed enters the hearts of the people, and they surrender in their home and their markets, and they follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the aim and the goal. So that whether they do that from my advice or from your advice, alhamdulillah, or from somebody's advice in California or somebody's advice in Saudi Arabia, or wherever they're at, alhamdulillah, if they're from the people of the sunnah, then we all have the same goal if we're sincere. And that is for the tawheed to spread and the deen to be established in the life of the Muslims. In the life of the Muslims, that the people, they'll stop calling on graves, and they'll call on Allah alone, and that the people, they'll stop following customs and whims, and they'll follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam restrictively. And this is what the aim and goal is, whether that happens from my efforts, or from your efforts, or from their efforts, wherever they may be, alhamdulillah, may Allah aid the people of the sunnah. This is the way to look at this aspect, not to quarrel and dispute and the likes like this. As we have seen in recent history, wallahu musta'an, some of them will come home and begin to teach the books of Tawheed, and then some people in certain lands, they'll be like, he didn't get permission from us. He didn't get permission from us to teach the books of Tawheed, and they're like, Allah yahdik. maybe that person got permission from people who are much any higher in rank and status than you. They just don't go bragging about the likes of these affairs. Yeah? And the people who brag about the likes of these affairs, that's because their actions do not justify any their issue. Any meaning that a person should not worry about this affair. We close with the statement of Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, Fath al-Bari, with regards to this narration. He says, "Wa fi al-hadith," and in this narration, "Al-haldu 'ala al-jama'a wal-ulfa wal-tahdhir min al-furqa wal-ikhtilaf." In this narration here, there's an encouragement. There's encouragement to be united and to have harmony, and a warning from separation and dissension and differing. "Wa nahyu 'an al-mira'i fi al-Qur'an," and there's a prohibition for quarreling about the Quran. بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمِرَاءِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and a prohibition for debating and arguing about the Quran without right, meaning that there is some aspects of debating and quarreling and right. And quarreling and debating can be allowed and good. And we have seen from some aspects of that, refuting the people of falsehood. But also, if a person, he himself has doubts, or issues are unclear for him, it's allowed for him to go to the people of knowledge whom he trusts in their knowledge and manners and their religion, and discuss issues, or for the students of knowledge to sit humbly and with good intention and discuss issues back and forth, even if initially they're not agreeing and there's a type of debate, but the intention is to achieve the truth or to understand clearly. This is allowed. This is allowed to discuss the differences of opinions of the four imams in Tahara, for example, or in the ruling of water, for example, or in the manner of Salah, for example, or the rulings of Hajj or Zakat, so on and so forth. This is allowed. This is allowed. Or if there's an issue, a person, he did not clearly understand, and he needs to go to someone who has knowledge and discuss with him the issue, and he has doubts or misunderstandings. So whenever he does that, he would tell, for example, the sheikh, he would not come to him and ask him a question and then begin debating with him. He would tell him, Barakallah fiqh, Jazakallah khaira, this issue here that I'm studying, it's not clear for me. I have read this statement and I have read that statement, and it appears to me this and this. Can you help clarify this for me? Like this. So you come with a muqaddimah, yani to the teacher, the one. You don't come with him as if you're debating and arguing with him or in opposition to him. You come with him as if you're asking for his help and guidance, and you clarify the situation. And now, if he mentions something and you need to go back and forth with him, he's going to understand your point of view, and he's going to understand that you have a good intention. As for if you come to the people of knowledge and you have a doubt and you want to clarify that, and then you say, well, Sheikh, what is the answer for that? Oh, what about this? Oh, what about that? Or even, well, Sheikh so-and-so says this, and the likes like this. The people of knowledge, they don't like the likes of this stuff. And because many of the students of knowledge, have caused problems with the scholars. But yeah, they've been like throughout the years, especially some coming from the likes of these lands. Wallahu musta'an. So sometimes the people of knowledge they will turn away from the likes of these students. But if you come and you say, as I mentioned, barakallahu fi, jazakallahu khair, I don't understand this clearly, or this issue is unclear for me, I want to discuss with you. I hope that you can help me understand, or you can clarify this here. I have read some statements, and it seems like they're not in agreement. I hope you can help me understand. Now, if he says one thing and you say another thing, he says one thing, you say another thing, he's going to be able to work with you. You understand the point? Barakallahu fikum. This is beneficial advice. So it's prohibited to argue about the Quran without right. As for in right, then it's not forbidden. Then it's not forbidden. ومن شر ذلك ومن شر ذلك أن تظهر دلالة الآية على شيء يخالف الرأي فيتوصل بالنظر وتدقيقه إلى تأويله وحمله على ذلك الرأي ويقع اللجاج في ذلك والمناضلة عليه. He said, and from the worst aspect of this, and from the worst aspect of debating and quarreling in the Quran without right, is that the evidence of an ayat would appear contrary to one's opinion, contrary to one's idea, what he thinks. Contrary to what one thinks, and he has an idea or opinion or ideology, and then the evidence of the Quran will apparently be contrary to that opinion or ideology. And then this person, he will try to look in meticulous detail until he will misinterpret or change the meaning to be in accordance with his desire and establish his falsehood in this manner, and then arguing and quarreling and dissension will occur. And arguing and quarreling and dissension will occur. And this is again from the ways of the people of misguidance, that they have ideologies in their minds, in their heads, and then they seek evidences from the Quran and the truth and try to make them fit together to support their misguidance. And this is from the ways of those who have deviation in their heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about them, فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ, that you should be cautious from them. Inshallah, after Maghrib, we will finish this work. There are two chapters left. One of them is very brief. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge a light for us and a benefit and a proof for us and not against us. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.